Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is another special edition. This show started, the concept of this show started when Mark and I were having lunch at the Wild Wing Cafe in Anderson, South Carolina. We had a great time talking about wrestling over lunch. And so every time, every day we record now, when we take our lunch break, we're sitting here eating. We have no show notes.
Nothing.
We just gonna talk about a particular subject, ask each other a question, and we want you to feel free in your office, in your car, wherever you're at. If you have to park on a walk on your lunch break, this is a show for you.
Eat lunch with us.
Again, the Double Dropkick Show. It's the wrestling you grew up with. Why are you eating lunch?
That's right.
That's why we're doing it.
And speaking of what we grew up with, we went to Taco Bell and found out they have brought back, they call it the chili cheese burrito. I remember it, and Heath remembers it more fondly, Heath, as the Chilito.
The Chilito. And if I was a Hispanic wrestler, that'd be my finishing move, the Chilito.
The Chilito.
So we're just going to go ahead and tell you. You're going to hear us eating. You're going to hear us drinking. You're going to hear
smacking and crunching.
Smacking. You just need to get over that. Now, here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about several topics. But the other day, Bleacher Report came out with an article. They come out with great articles. If you're not reading some of their stuff, it's good stuff. But they came up with an article, Mark, 25 wrestlers who couldn't make it today.
Right.
If they came around today, for whatever reasons, Bleacher Report saying they wouldn't make it.
Okay.
So what I want us to do, I'm going to read off these names.
Okay.
We're just going to agree or disagree with Bleacher Report.
All right, sir.
And tell them when they're wrong and tell them when they're right. So here's the first one. And we've talked about this guy on previous shows, and I'm going to take me a bite of a burrito.
Go right ahead. I think I can see the picture, and I think I know who it is. Let me see.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. To say that Jake the Snake Roberts wouldn't make it in professional wrestling today.
Yeah, they're saying that he didn't. He kind of had a nondescript body. Now, I would say this. When he went to WWF, got the snake, got the tights, I think that took his career to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I won't disagree, and he probably would tell you if it hadn't been for all that, he might not have made it.
Right. But he still would have had a nice, yeah. He would have still had a nice career as far as his ability to talk, his ability to work.
Yeah. To see Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
He, the creator of one of the most used moves in wrestling history since then, the DDT, to say that he wouldn't make it in today's wrestling place, that may be the stupidest person. And that's the first one on the list. I think I know who some of the other guys are. Mm. That's stupid.
Yeah. So the second one on here is a junkyard dog. Junkyard dog. What do you think about that?
Maybe that one's not so stupid. I think junkyard dog, you know, going back to the Mid-South days, for what he was, the promotion that he was in, I thought he was great. I might tend to agree with that in today's era of wrestling with the body type that he had. Really, he cut an okay promo, but not a great promo. Didn't have a lot of in-ring. I think now you really have to have some in-ring skill to make it. And I don't know that he could perform at that level. So there may be a little truth to that. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I also think that if you've got a place and a time for somebody like Santino, like the Funkasaurus. I think
he kind of is a modern day JYD, I guess.
Yeah, you could play up. He's not going to be the main eventer.
No.
And
he wasn't in WWE. He wasn't a main eventer.
Right. But I think he had the character. He had enough charisma. He had that kind of match that was engaging to the fans. It was entertaining. And I think he'd be a good, like I said, that good. We talked about it on the Starrcade show. You just had a hot match. You got to bring the crowd down. You bring Junkyard Dog in. That's just my personal opinion.
Kids like him. Okay, you convinced me. He might like it.
So, oh yeah, I mean, are you Junkyard Dog? That's a merchandiser right
there.
You're
right. You're absolutely right.
Here's the next one that I absolutely know, positively 100%, we are going to agree on, and that is Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah. I don't even need to talk about that much more. I agree. He wouldn't. I don't think he should have made it back then, and I don't know why he wouldn't make it today.
The way that he wore his trunks. Now I give him credit. He wore knee pads. But his tires were pulled up almost to his nipples.
When I was a kid, my daddy used to call them titty britches.
And if you didn't know, you know, the only title he really ever won was the AWA World Heavyweight title. How? He's Vern Gagne's son-in-law.
Yeah. Had a good program with Bruno.
No. No, I'm messing with you.
Whether it was good or not, yeah. It was a popular and it's well remembered by a lot of people.
Right? Yeah, Shea Stadium. Yeah, so
you can't take that away from him. But he had he had the body of a 50-year-old man when in his 20s. You know.
Speaking of another man with a 50-year-old body in his 20s, Playboy Buddy Rose.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Lord have, oh man, if you don't know who that guy is, just he's morbidly obese.
Yeah. Wasn't always like that. Had a pretty good run in Portland, but yeah. Who remembers that?
Right.
Now I've heard that in his garage, he's got all the Portland tapes.
Really?
From their TV shows.
Ah.
And so I would be interested.
Somebody's got to be thinking about getting in touch with him then.
Yeah. But Playboy Buddy Rose.
Portland, if you know, Roddy Piper was big in Portland. Billy Jack Haynes was big in Portland. But he had that gimmick. He's a playboy. He's a pimp. You know, he's a hustler, whatever you want to call it. And he does not look the part.
No.
Imagine if Ric Flair was, you know, 375, 400 pounds.
Now, there's a we'll link to this article because we do want to, you know, we'd absolutely want to give credit to Bleacher Report for this article. But there's a picture of Buddy Rose late in his career and a picture of him earlier in his career. And you can see the difference. All right, so here's the next one. Kevin Sullivan.
Mm. That's a good question. I, you know, given the right gimmick, I don't see why Kevin Sullivan wouldn't have gotten over today.
Right.
I mean, are you talking about a guy who was believable in what he did in the ring? Brutal, that tree of woe when he, you know, he'd hang him upside down in a turnbuckle. I think Kevin Sullivan could be popular today. Just like
I mean, there are still people who legitimately think he was a devil worshiper.
There are people. This is the truth.
Yeah.
There are people who believe he was a Satanist and that he is behind the Benoit Nancy Sullivan Daniel. Sullivan or Daniel Benoit murders.
Yeah.
There are people that believe that. He was so good at what he did.
Yeah.
That some people have that conspiracy theory that his Satanist cult murdered them.
Now, I never thought he was a good in-ring worker. He could have a good match.
Yeah. He had some great matches with Chris Benoit.
We could spend a whole show. Maybe we'll do a show on bookers.
Yeah,
because Sullivan was a booker a long time in WCW,
and was good at it.
Yeah.
He was good at it. He was not one of, like, for those that don't know, he was booking Chris Benoit to win the world title
right
after Chris Benoit had stolen his wife from him.
Right.
So he did not allow his personal opinions to get in the way of doing. Now I'm sure he didn't like the guy.
Right.
But he put what was he thought was best for business above that.
There's a great, on Netflix, I believe, great documentary called Card Subject to Change.
Mm-hmm.
It's about some indie wrestling, but Kevin Sullivan is a big character in that movie. And it's a good, if you're a wrestling fan, it is good.
It's well worth watching. I think Zima Ion is in that.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I think there's some Sid Vicious. Yeah. There might be some Sid Vicious stuff, but I remember Kevin Sullivan's kind of the narrator.
Yeah.
All right, here's the next one. Oh, dear. Earthquake and Typhoon, the natural disasters.
I'm guessing they made that list because of their physique, right? I would disagree with that. I think they were large guys, and I think both of them, for John Tenta, especially Earthquake, for his size, he could really move in the ring really well.
Yeah.
If there's room for Brodus Clay, I don't understand why that you wouldn't think that maybe Typhoon wouldn't make it today. Typhoon, there's a lot of, and we're going to talk about him in the cringeworthy, Fred Ott.
Uncle Fred.
Do you know how that... I'll tell you about the Uncle Fred. You got to tune into the Cringeworthy show, and I'll tell you how they got the name Uncle Fred from that.
They got their spot because Hulk Hogan liked to go up against...
slay giants.
Yeah, and that's why they got their spot. If you go back, Bash of the Beach 96, Big Boss Band versus John Tenta... sock full of quarters on a pole match. It's as bad as it sounds. John Tenta at that point, I think he had had something to do with the Dungeon of Doom.
And yeah, shark at that point. Yeah. I'm not saying that some of the stuff he did wasn't horrendous.
Yeah, and not all that's his fault.
But not all that's his fault. And he could, in the early part of his career, he could move very well in the ring.
Yeah, he could work.
There's a match from Japan where he gets in a shoot fight in the ring.
Yes.
I can't remember who he's wrestling. Yeah, but the guy doesn't want to act right. And, I mean, it turns into a real brawl. And he held his own. And a lot of guys don't hold their own against those Japanese.
Wrestlers,
but he held his own and backed that guy down.
And if you watch that on YouTube, you see a side of him you never saw in the States.
No.
All right, that leads me to this guy.
When you say this guy, I already know what you're going to...
The Honky Tonk Man.
Greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. I like the Honky Tonk Man.
He's entertaining.
He's entertaining.
I couldn't really... I didn't like his in-ring work. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but he's really bare. A lot of shoot interviews. Mm-hmm. It's like he's had two careers. He had his in-ring career, which, do you remember when they hyped him up to come to WCW? And then I don't ever remember him wrestling a match in WCW.
Yeah, it didn't go very far.
But I remember that. But his post career is like if there is somebody with a mic and a camera doing a shoot interview,
he'll run somebody down.
Yeah, and doesn't hesitate, just burying.
But that's people. How he makes his living. You have to take some of that with a grain of salt.
Right. He's almost just as he played the Honky Tonk Man character. He's playing a different character now.
Right, I'm the guy that's going to expose all the dirty secrets of the business, that kind of thing.
But yeah, and you could, I can't remember what his Twitter handle is, but it's fairly entertaining. I follow him.
I can't remember.
It's pretty entertaining. All right, next. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Big, tough, strong,
USA
football player.
USA.
Yeah. Well, he went to... Southern Methodist University, I think it was.
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
I think that's right. They played football there.
I got to meet him. Got his autograph. Real nice guy. They did a show over in Salem maybe 2 years ago. And, you know, he was in a tag match and, you know, what was in there long enough to give a shoulder tackle to a guy. And that was it. And... it was good to see him. You know, he was on the Raw pre-show or the Royal? It was one of the pre-shows, and he was fairly entertaining.
Yeah, he's a good talker. I mean, I never had a problem, and he's battled a lot with the cancer and surviving cancer and stuff like that. I don't see why Hacksaw wouldn't have made it today. Maybe, I mean, in that era, everybody in WWE was larger than life.
Yeah,
He had a great match with Shawn Michaels on Raw one night. Right at the very early inception of Raw, he and Shawn Michaels had an incredible match one night. A lot of that credit, I think, goes to Shawn Michaels, but it was Shawn Michaels playing off of Hacksaw's power moves.
Yeah.
So I disagree with that. Because
he's legitimate. He was a legitimate football player and athlete.
Yeah,
and I think they'll find a spot for him.
Yeah. Anybody, if you got Big E, why wouldn't you have Hacksaw?
Right.
when I think about it, I try to compare him. You got a big, tough, strong guy who has a legitimate athletic background. Why would you not at least give him an opportunity?
Yeah.
The thing about a lot of these guys, it seems that they're going on how they look.
Yeah, yeah, and they
you
are.
You have to understand.
They are.
Look at Baby Doll.
Yeah.
And how she looked in the 80s.
Yeah.
People looked different. They dressed different. They wore their hair different. Yeah. Their style was different back then. So you can't say because somebody looked a certain way back then that they couldn't get over today.
Yeah. All right, next. Greg the Hammer Valentine.
That's a tough one, man.
He came from a family of wrestlers. Johnny Valentine, you've talked about some of their matches on Facebook before. Johnny Valentine and Johnny Weaver.
With Wahoo.
Wahoo. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wahoo, that was.
And he kind of carried over when his dad got hurt in that plane crash. He jumped in. He teamed with Ric Flair. There again, if you base it on how a guy looks now, I get that. But he back then didn't have a very much different look than, say, Daniel Bryan has today.
Yeah.
A little bit more stocky, maybe.
I'll just be totally honest. I have nothing against Greg the Hammer Valentine, but I wouldn't pay. He just never did it for me. Either his gimmick with Bruce Beefcake or now the dog collar match, which I've now seen.
Good.
That's a great match, but I've never really heard Greg about. Maybe I need to watch some more of the older stuff. I've never heard him really cut a good promo.
You don't remember the I Broke Wahoo's Leg stuff? Go check some of that out.
I need to go check that out.
Yeah, check that out. But I heard you say, I don't know that I would pay money to see Greg Valentine. None of these guys are main event.
Right, this is true.
So we're not talking about would this guy have been a main eventer today because he was. These guys were not main eventers.
Right.
For the most part, they may have worked the occasional main event. Yeah,
but they weren't your drawing
card. But these were not the guys that you were paying to see. These were the guys on the undercard putting on good matches. So I don't see why Valentine wouldn't have a place on the undercard putting on good matches.
Yeah, and I think the point of this article is the eyeball test. I think that's all they're going on.
Right.
Is based on, you know, for the most part, everybody's in pretty decent shape today. But all right, here's one. I don't know a lot about this guy. Stan the Man Stasiak.
I don't either. I don't know enough about him to. That was a little bit before my time.
So, yeah. So let me just read you the couple of sentences. Stan may have been the man back in his day, but these days he'd more likely be the man you buy concessions from at a wrestling show than competing in the main event. So not. I would, you know, I got nothing. Dusty Rhodes. Disagree. Dusty Rhodes obviously does not have the greatest physique in the history of mankind. Maybe the most charismatic performer of all time.
Yeah. He doesn't have the greatest physique in the world, but he's got more charisma than a guy like Orton or Batista's ever going to have.
Right. And Dusty Rhodes, when he got in the ring, he represented you.
Yeah.
He was, when he wrestled Ric Flair represented the rich people,
right.
the people who, you know, cut corners to get by. And Dusty Rhodes represented the common man.
Yeah, he was the common man and he looked like the common man. He was a son of a plumber.
We talked, you know, we did an episode, we talked about Vince, we talked about booking and talked about Dusty as a booker. And you didn't realize every week when the credits would roll on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, you see executive producer Virgil Runnels.
Right.
You didn't realize, oh, well, no wonder Dusty was in the main event.
Yeah, that's right.
No but Dusty now I would pay. I mean, I've paid to see Dusty wrestle.
Yeah, he's, all day long.
He's good. He's good. All right. Now, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, now this one I know you're going to disagree with. Big Van Vader.
Oh, come on.
Thoughts on him.
Are you kidding me? The greatest big man ever in the history of professional wrestling. I said it and I mean it. The greatest big. I don't care if you're talking about Andre the Giant. I don't care if you're talking about Big Show. None of those guys athletically could do what Big Van Vader does in the ring. He had incredible matches with Sting. Incredible match with Shawn Michaels. Incredible matches with Cactus Jack. the list goes on. That match that Stan Hansen
popped his eye.
Bam Bam Bigelow. All these guys that he had matches with, incredible stuff. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard to say that Big Van Vader wouldn't make it today. That guy was about 400 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
At one time.
Yeah, at one time.
Not I mean, anymore. I know he's got weight issues, and he had.
And the best Vader promo of all time was when he was about to cry. I'm just a big fat piece of crap.
Yeah,
that was great.
And then there's another one where he's hyped up, just talking about himself, and he goes, "Look at me, I'm so big."
Now we're not saying you should give Van Vader a mic every
week. But I thought he cut a believable promo. He definitely had heart. You know, I think Mick Foley had the most telling thing about him when he said there were some guys that what they did looked horrible, but it hurt. And there were some guys that looked like they were destroying you and you never felt a thing. But Vader, it looked impressive and it hurt. And you never wanted to give him free rein. When Cactus said, light me up a couple of times with a few of those punches, he hit him and broke his nose.
Oh, wow.
And you can audibly hear his nose break on camera when he hits him one time. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard to say that Big Van Vader would be a main eventer in his prime today.
Yeah. I think he could still go.
I'm offended that Vader is on that list.
Again, they're going on his looks. I mean, their first line is, without the mask, Vader looks kind of plain. They're going just as I. So, yeah. Hey, don't.
That's why they used to put masks on back then.
Right. And they should do that
They again. Should do that now. Yeah. And you'd have more guys. I'm telling you, if you put a mask on Jack Swagger, there's no reason he couldn't be main event in WrestleMania in a few years. He's that good in the ring, but he looks goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. All right, here's the next one. Coco Beware.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Hall of Famer. And again, they're going on his look and his look and his physique. And
I think it's good for the kids. He might could have him doing something like that.
He was just like a pile driver.
there again, though. Who ever paid money to see Coco Beware do anything?
You didn't pay money to see him, but you were happy when you saw him.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just...
Yeah. Again, they're going on sheerly on...
He was on, I think he was on Hulk Hogan's first Survivor Series team, too.
I mean, they're talking about, you know, the fact he was 5'8", da-da-da-da-da. He had a bad body type. I remember when he was with the... Was he with the PYTs or the... Yeah. Or the... Yeah, it wasn't the RPMs. It was him and Norvell Austin in World Class. So when Coco Beware came to WWF, I had seen him before.
Really?
Channel 32, World Class Championship Wrestling. Here's the next one. We going to disagree with the Bleacher Report. Harley Race.
Oh.
Again. Again. What? They're going on body type. They're not going on skill. That's what they're going on. They're just going on the eyeball test.
Whoever wrote that article might be a 30, 25, 30-year-old guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old Harley Race is.
But Harley Race could.
But I guarantee you Harley Race could go up, find that cat right now, and stretch him on the floor wherever he works at, and he wouldn't say Harley Race didn't belong on. That's even stupider than saying Vader.
Then I
see the next one, and it's stupid, too.
Stan Hansen.
I don't even talking about that.
Here it is. They say it themselves, a star all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We both agree. Stan Hansen, snot, the king of snot bubble wrestling. And if there was a poster child for the Double Dropkick show, besides the Rock and Roll Express at this show, it'd be Stan Hansen.
And let me tell you, and Bruiser Brody.
I did not have a great appreciation for those guys, but you really introduced me to some good stuff. Next one, I don't want to spend a lot of time on Tommy Wildfire Rich. He had a great program with Buzz Sawyer. Yeah. One of the great tragedies in the history, not only of wrestling, but in the history of the world, is the fact that the last night in Georgia cage match is not on tape somewhere.
Yeah.
There's pictures here and there. I don't know what were they thinking? Holy, what were you? Get a camera in there. You build up to one of the most anticipated matches But yeah, I don't really have a whole lot of. I saw him. I was watching
the
ECW. Well,
tell us about the match. Tell us what the buildup was.
The buildup was just Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich had been beating the fool out of each other for over a year. They had been going back and forth. They were cutting promos on each other. And the only way to end it was they were in a cage with a roof on it. And Buzz Sawyer's manager, Paul Ellering, was in a cage suspended above the ring. Because, and I don't think, was there even a ref in the ring? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Well. But just a slobber knocker of a match. And it was, I believe it was at the Omni in Atlanta. And just they sold it, and it was a big deal.
NWA World Heavyweight Champion. He can claim that.
Right.
look up why he got it.
Was it because of a power struggle?
Just Google it.
You gonna tell me after the show?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Okay,
I'll tell you the rumor anyway.
All right, so the next one is they're saying two of the four horsemen.
Yeah, stupid. Arn and Ole.
To me, Arn and Ole both look like tough guys. Arn could hang today. Can you? Are you telling me that Arn could have Arn and Telly versus?
Anybody,
anytime, anywhere.
They wrestled the Road Warriors, incredible match. Yeah. They wrestled the Midnight Express, incredible match. Rock and Roll Express, incredible match. Doc and Gordy, go to the day, put them in there with the real Americans. And that's the whoever.
Again, they're going.
Whoever the scrub, jabroni, I'm going to go Iron Sheik, whoever the jabroni is
again,
who wrote this ridiculous, stupid article needs to be put in a camel clutch and humbled.
So, again, they're going strictly on physical look. Now, here's the next one.
They're going strictly on the fact that whoever wrote this thing has probably been watching wrestling for 3 years.
Yeah, I'd say
that's what they're going on. I'm going to find out who wrote it, and I'm going to send them a letter and ask
a letter to the editor.
I am. I'm going to say, how long have you been watching wrestling? I really would like to know.
Let's
call out this jabroni right now, whoever wrote this stupid article.
It didn't print out the first page.
All right, I'll find it on the internet.
We'll find out. We're going to link it to you.
We're going
to
link it, and you tell them how stupid they are.
You go comment. Because
I see who the next guy is. I can see the picture over there.
That's Fabulous Moolah.
Oh.
Well. Fabulous Moolah would not be a diva today.
Maybe not, but I'll tell you this. There wouldn't be any divas if it wasn't for Moolah.
There you go. Hey, from South Carolina.
Right, and trained a lot of the girls who came up later on. And I see who the other, yeah, I saw it too. I'm telling you, whoever the there's an idiot who I don't know who the idiot is from Bleacher Report who wrote this stupid article, but I'm saying it again. They can't have to have only been watching wrestling 3 or 4 years.
They obviously,
and they got the same little they love to look at Batista's body or something. Maybe they like to look at Batista when he's in skinny jeans.
That's all
I can figure. Just because these guys don't have great bodies, I don't care what a guy's body looks like.
Wahoo McDaniel.
I know. That's an idiot. I'm not even discussing that. Just, no. From now on, you tell me who they are, and I'll say they're an idiot.
Now, the Rock and Roll Express
Idiot. Whoever wrote it, you're an idiot.
He does have a picture.
I like the picture.
The picture, both of them have a Tom Selleck mustache. You know, this is the Double Dropkick Show.
Right.
So if you think you can bring your little article on here and talk bad about our guys that we've met personally.
That we recorded the intro for our show.
Yes. Nah.
Yeah, that don't fly, jabroni.
Are you're saying Rock and Roll?
There again.
Oh, man.
Let them continue to watch Batista prance around in skinny jeans. I'm guessing they like to see Shawn Michaels dancing around a sexy boy. That's all I can figure because they're hung up on body type.
Yeah.
I don't care. We talking about wrestling ability, promo ability, and there's a stupid scrub jabroni who wrote this ridiculous, stupid article.
Yeah. So so the next one is Dick Murdoch.
Stupid.
Now, did he have the physique? No.
No.
One of the best. But let me tell you, if you don't get a kick out of when Dick Murdoch's in the ring and they get in a punch out and Dick Murdoch kind of staggers and just swinging at air, I'm telling you.
Ric Flair gives him all the credit for teaching him how to introduce a little bit of comedy into a match.
I'm sorry, Mark. These are just going to infuriate you. All right. Then the next one, Adrian Adonis.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Adrian Adonis. I didn't really think he was good. Mick Foley.
Oh, get out of here.
Mick Foley, who literally gave his ear to the business of professional wrestling.
He wouldn't make it today, man. Get Jabroni.
I think what he's... Well, I'm tired of defending the guy. All right, Gorilla Monsoon. I don't know a lot about Gorilla Monsoon.
But Gorilla was a big guy, tough yeah. guy, had some good matches with Bruno in WWF. Just an idiot. There's an idiot that wrote this.
And then the last one
they
is...
I know nothing. If you want to... I've always defended Bleacher Report, okay. but if you want to know anything about wrestling history, you don't need to be looking at it.
So their this stuff. Article... Okay. This article, I just found it the other day, but it's from 2012. Andy Sukic.
Andy Sukic, you can suck it. Yeah, you're a jabroni. Somebody needs to put you in a camel clutch and humble you.
And I don't understand what...
If that's the chief writer, call me and I'll write you some real articles, Bleacher Report.
I mean, I just don't get that. So the last one is Yokozuna.
I get it. I guarantee if I find a picture of him, he's 25 years old. He started watching when John Cena was getting hot, and that's right. all he knows.
Yeah.
And he's jacked up freaks, like, you know, and that's all he cares about. I don't even read the rest of that stupid
list. Well, the last one is Yokozuna. And to me, what a character. Now, was I a big fan of Yokozuna? But there's never been another Yokozuna. There wasn't one
never
before.
Never will
then.
Be another Yokozuna.
Yeah. Because he could work.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. If you can't tell, if you're finishing up your lunch, I don't know if you can tell. This man sitting across the table from me, he's passionate about.
I'm trying to eat I can't even enjoy my taco.
I know. I quit eating halfway through. Let me tell you, we're passionate because pretty much all the guys, these 25 that got run down, that's the wrestling we grew up with.
By some jabroni that don't know nothing about wrestling.
Right. And to say, I mean, everybody in WWE right now doesn't have the best physique in the world.
Who cares?
Who cares? I mean,
the guys that are sitting around worrying about what another man's physique looks like.
Right.
Look, I ain't got no problem with nobody. Don't get me.
Yeah.
That's not me commenting on any type of social issue.
Yeah.
But I ain't sitting around worried about what no other man's body looks like.
Lord knows we don't worry about what our bodies look like.
If you can see what was sitting in front of us right now, you know we're not worried about what our
I got $16 worth of Taco Bell.
I know. I told Heath, I need to confess, I told him I'd buy his lunch today, and then he started ordering. And I thought, is he getting something for somebody else? And you have to understand, he's half my size.
He swerved me.
Yeah, he said, man, and then they rung it up. I said, I'm not buying you $16 worth of tacos.
And I only got one Chilito, and we both regret not getting more Chilito. Did I eat mine, Chilito?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Mark, anything else you want to cover? You want to say that for another time?
Hey, you tell me how much time we got. We got a couple of tacos left.
Yeah,
you do. I'm done. You know,
But I think, to me, the conversation, you know, we typically, during our lunch break, we talk about different topics. But to me, what we just discussed stands on its own 2 feet. That's how I feel.
I agree. I defend every single guy who's on that list. Whether I thought they were great or not,
yeah,
they were part of the history of the business that I love.
Yeah.
And for some chump to talk about how they don't deserve to be, some of those guys are Hall of Famers. He'll never be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and
whoever wrote that piece of junk.
And to be honest, I didn't read a lot of the comments before we started doing this.
No,
I saw the pictures.
Either.
I kind of knew the list.
Yeah.
But as I read the comments, I'm like, some of them are really uncalled for.
Yeah.
I mean,
He
called Harley Race, said Harley Race looked more like the Burger King of wrestling.
Yeah. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
What's his name again? Andy Sukic?
Yeah. Sukic. Yeah. Sukic.
Oh, okay. Sukic. I'm sorry. Andy Sukic. Well, you suck, Andy Sukic.
And listen,
if you don't like it, come do something about it, Jabroni.
Listen, we are, we're going to put this link. We want you to go to Bleacher Report. We want you to comment on this article.
Tell this guy how,
Actually, you know what?
I want you to go to Bleacher Report and ask him how long he's been watching.
Part of me, though, doesn't want them to go to Bleacher Report because I don't want his website to get the hits.
That's right. You got a good point.
I don't want his article to get the hits.
That's a good point.
So I tell you, I'm not going to put the link to this article on our website because we don't believe in this article.
Right.
You just take
Why should we link to somebody that went completely 180 from what we do, which is celebrating the history of our industry.
We celebrate.
That matters so much to us, and running a guy like Harley Race down. I got no use for that guy.
I mean, or celebrating the fact that back in the day, you know, those guys weren't on steroids.
No. I'm telling you, you put that guy in a ring today with Harley Race. Today. Harley Race stretches him today. I'm not talking about in his prime. Today. Harley Race today would stretch that guy. Big Van Vader today would destroy that guy. Stan Hansen today would destroy him in a wrestling.
Wouldn't be able to see him. Hansen wouldn't be able to see him, but he.
Right. And I guarantee you, he'd probably knock his eyeball out of socket like he did. But Honky Tonk Man would work a circle around the jabroni that wrote that article.
I would. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm done. I got nothing else to say.
So listen, if you want more stuff like this, every now and then we do a show during our lunch break. That's what this is. And today we've been talking about the Bleacher Report article, 25 wrestlers who wouldn't make it today. We completely disagree with the article. We hope that our respect for the business, we hope that our respect for these Hall of Famers, many of them, comes through. And to me, you just don't. He's disrespected an entire generation.
He did. That's exactly what he did.
And I'm not
several generations. He disrespected.
Listen, Mark is he. Listen, I've seen Mark mad twice in my life. I don't even remember the first
one. I don't either.
But let me tell you, today, if oh my goodness, let me tell you, Mark and I used to gimmick that I was Kimchi and he was my Kamala, and I would be doing the Kimchi, keeping him off of you, Andy Suckett. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. You can iTunes, Stitcher, DoubleDropKick.com, where you will not find a link to this article.
This garbage article.
Garbage.
Now, this most is the Carlos Colon of articles.
Now, most of the time, they have pretty decent stuff on Bleacher Report. Pretty good reporting.
They do. If you're looking for some newer stuff, but anytime you're dealing with the history of wrestling,
they're ignorant of it.
The podcast that they have, those guys, I've listened to it, and they'll say, I started watching wrestling back in 98, or I started watching wrestling back in 97. There's nothing you can tell me about wrestling if you started watching it in 97.
And to be honest, you know, if that's when you started watching wrestling, this is probably not the podcast.
Probably not, but that's okay. That's you're all a fan. Right. You listen. That's I'm glad, right. And we're glad you listen, and I'm glad you started watching wrestling, but you don't need to be writing articles about the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
That's why you don't hear Heath and I talking about wrestling from the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
Because we don't know.
Yeah.
We started watching wrestling in the 80s. That's what we talk about.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're talking about, because I could come on here and say, well, Lou Thesz probably wouldn't make it today. You know,
Lou Thesz could stretch you right now.
Lou Thesz could stretch me right now. Exactly. Yeah. But that's why we don't talk about that wrestling, because it's not the wrestling that we grew up with.
Yeah. We're not passionate about it.
Right. We're not passionate about that. But I'm certainly not going to run down Bruno Sammartino or Lou Thesz or Ed Strangler Lewis or any of those guys, Frank Gotch, any of the guys that paved the way for what we have today.
Yeah.
I would never disrespect any of those guys by saying that they didn't deserve to be in the business or they wouldn't make it
because their hair didn't look right.
Because I didn't like the way their body looked.
Yeah, that's
get out of here.
That's so. Anyway, we do want to know what you think. So, 864-952-1893. Leave a comment on here. I'm telling you, we're everywhere. I'm hot. I'm intense, and I'm eating fire sauce, and so it's double. So that's all I got to say, except that this has been the Double Dropkick Show, and I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman, and Andy Suckett, you suck.
And oh, my goodness, fans, they've all got the ring. Oh, no, we're out of time.